Between the years of 1967 and 1972, over 300 commercial airplanes were hijacked worldwide. This period would become known as the Golden Age of hijacking. The new podcast, American Skyjacker, is the tale of a small-time crook named Martin Mac McNally, who dreamed of the ultimate mile-high score. Listen and subscribe to American Skyjacker on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truth is never convenient. You are now going through the gauntlet of truth with Jeffrey Candelaris on 96.3 News Radio KKOB.
Good afternoon, New Mexico. Welcome to the Gauntlet of Truth. Jeffrey Candelaria in studio. We have a lot to cover over the next 3 hours. I promise it's going to be a very robust show. During the first segment, we're going to be talking about the state of the economy, both globally, nationally, and particularly here where we dwell here in New Mexico, particularly as the $600 supplement to unemployment has concluded as of today. Both the Democrats and Republicans haven't come to terms with what that's going to look like in terms of if they're going to resurrect some kind of a stimulus to complement that unemployment that's going on for 30 million Americans here. And we're going to talk to Pavlos Panagopoulos from Cetera. He's got a lot of acumen and experience in terms of understanding economics. The second segment, it's going to be an extraordinarily robust topic about the removal, precipitous removal of the Oñate statue and the journey over at the Albuquerque Museum. And we're going to talk about all the contextual contributions Hispanics have made, not only to New Mexico, but really to the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere in the second part of this this show. And my guest at that time is going to be historian Tom Chavez. He's written more than four books about history related to New Mexico history, and we invite you to call in. Should we have removed precipitously the Oñate statue? But for now, I'd like to welcome Pavlos Panagopoulos with Cetera. He's a frequent guest on my show because he's got an extraordinarily unique background in understanding economics, the stock market, the value of our dollar, and basically financial planning. Welcome to the Gauntlet of Truth, Pavlos Panagopoulos.
Hey, Jeff, thank you. What a great show you've always put on for our community, and what a unique perspective you give with your Gauntlet of Truth. It's always great to be on your program and try to give our listeners out there something they're not being hearing from Wall Street or, you know, the Main Street media. You know, we hear a lot about what's happening in the stock market, but we don't hear what's really going on in the background of the economy and really how it's affecting individuals here in New Mexico.
You know, and I call the show the Gauntlet of Truth because I try to keep it as real as possible, and I try to dissect cliches. Like when people say we're all in this together, you know, regarding the pandemic, well, the answer is we're not all in this together, because most of the people making those decisions about the rest of us are shielded, no pun intended, shielded from the very policies they talk about. So I want to start with...
They're still getting their paychecks, right?
Exactly.
They're not going to get a cut in the $600 a month paycheck, I don't think so.
Governor Grisham, Donald Trump, Pelosi, Schumer, all those people, they've not missed a paycheck.
Right.
They've really not suffered even in terms of their quality of life in the last five
right.
months.
And, but in the case of Donald Trump, he has not taken a paycheck. You knew that for
well,
yeah,
fine.
So I mean that you know, but again, he's a business guy,
Metaphorically.
Yes.
So with that, I want to talk right away or open up the conversation with a couple of things. As of today, August 1st, that $600 supplement to unemployment concluded. And I know that Congress is meeting to try to figure out what they're going to do with that. But think about this, and it's pretty obvious. 30 million Americans as of right now don't have that $600 supplement to, you know, to consume or inject into the economic platform called our country. What kind of devastating effect will that have when consumers won't have that $600, at least for right now, on a weekly basis to buy whatever it is they buy, pay rent, buy pizza, whatever the hell people do.
Right, and also they were trying to help them from getting evicted, so they put a moratorium on evictions as well. So against 75% of the individuals out there that were getting that extra $600 supplement were actually making more money. So in the case of the Republican Senate, they kind of feel like, hey, 75% of those people are making more money, so it's better off for them to be unemployed. But then recently we heard just yesterday that the GDP, the gross domestic product, dropped and unemployment's back on the rise. And so we're having more people file for unemployment. We were at 1.4 million, 4 million, and now it's been revised up to 1.45 million more people last week filed for unemployment. So, Jeffrey, you're right. It's going to affect a lot of individuals, especially here in our state, because we have a lot of people that are involved in the service and hospitality industry, and they rely on that $600 extra that they get every week.
Well, the obvious industry that's going to be most devastated by this and will continue to be devastated is the restaurant industry. The other day on Thursday, the governor, Michelle Grisham over there, she did not relax the restrictions for, let's say, for example, indoor dining for restaurants. Also, as of her mandate, there will be no in-school kid teacher instruction, at least through Labor Day. So,
and for all you soccer fans out there, there's supposed to be a game today here in New Mexico, and we'll be playing Phoenix Rising tonight in Phoenix because our soccer team, United, is not allowed to play in New Mexico. And we are one of three states in the United States that doesn't have indoor dining. We're the only state in the world that is not playing soccer. And if anybody got a chance to watch the FA Cup from London today, it was a great game. And again, the stadium's empty. The players are, you know, obviously quarantined, and they practice the social distancing and all that, and they've not had any problems with the players getting sick or getting, you know, having COVID. But again, you know, I think there's got to be some common sense when we are basically shutting down our economy.
Exactly. So the question for our callers at this point is, should the governor have relaxed the restrictions, particularly against indoor dining, which is going to affect, I'm trying to remember how many thousands of employees in New Mexico, and we're talking about 500, 600, 700 restaurants or more.
I think 320 businesses have gone out of business here in New Mexico this year, and that's according to Yelp. So, I mean,
so
wow,
give us a call. Should the governor have relaxed her restrictions all the way through September or not, particularly as it relates to indoor dining in restaurants, which affects not only the restaurant but all their employees, all the folks that support restaurants, window cleaners, carpet cleaners, the people that provide them with chemicals, the inventory for food. Should the governor have relaxed her restrictions through September? Give us a call, 243-3333 with Pavlos Panagopoulos and Jeffrey Candelaria. All right, thanks again for tuning in to Gauntlet of Truth. Jeffrey Candelaria here. My guest in studio is Pavlos Panagopoulos. He is really a financial planner, but he's really, in my view, an economist because he understands global economy, national economy, and obviously the local economy. He's been in business more than 25 years, and he's a renowned local financial planner, but he really studies the market, and he understands the dollar, the value of the dollar. Well, the question at hand today for this segment is, should Governor Michelle Grisham have relaxed or not relaxed the restrictions, again, mostly affecting, well, even churches, you know, how many folks can go to church, affecting restaurants. That's probably the most affected industry in and of itself.
Soccer, for me, the soccer lover, you know, and sports at schools,
yeah,
and football, baseball, you name it, all the students that play sports.
That's a good point. The governor, in fact, wrote the NCAA a couple of months ago and asked them to restrict all football for fall. So that would, impact UNM severely because there's at least two $1 million games where if Lobo football doesn't play those games, doesn't look like that's going to happen.
And no New Mexico Bowl, and what about all the ancillary business that comes from that, concessions, yeah, and people that work there? I mean,
so should the governor have relaxed those restrictions, or should we open up New Mexico? And those of you that want to go to a restaurant, you go. If you don't want to go, don't go. Give us a call, 243-3333. Let's go to Scooter here.
Howdy, gents.
Hey, Scooter.
I'm a strong believer that the economy cannot, will not recover until we get the pandemic under control. Do you agree or disagree with that?
But here's something. Right now we have COVID-19, right? Scooter, do you believe that we could have COVID-20? So what you're basically saying is that, you know, there's going to be more pandemics coming. You know, there's, you know, humans are frail and we have, you know, different immunities and people have different levels of immunity. And so, you know, we got to be careful not to, you know, cry wolf every time something, you know, happens. And, you know,
it happens every 100 years. I mean, the 1918 was the last real pandemic, and this one is a real pandemic.
And SARS was as well. SARS in China, right?
A terrible disease, SARS, right. And MERS.
China did a good job of containing that, right?
SARS and MERS were fairly well controlled.
Right, by China.
Various, yeah.
Right. China did a good job controlling SARS and MERS and the coronavirus. Could you agree with that? And China has killed more people. China has killed more people in total, the whole world. They've killed more of their own people than any country put together. All the other was in Spain. You're an American citizen. If you're in a different country, they have martial law. If you've ever lived under martial law, I've been during the pandemic when there was martial law in Spain, and they pointed machine guns at my kids while we were in Spain in March. So, yes, there is a way of locking things down, but would you trade your, you know, freedom for safety? That's what you're asking a lot of people to do.
All right, thanks. So, Pavlos, getting back to the $600 supplement to unemployment affecting 30 million Americans as of today, you're talking about the devaluation of the dollar within the same conversation. Explain a little bit to our listeners how, even since 1972, for example, the value of the dollar is eroded almost 90%. So,
right, that's the year we got off the gold standard when it was Nixon. We were on the gold standard.
Let me finish my question. When the government, whatever that means, the Congress, Republicans and Democrats say we're going to introduce a $2 trillion stimulus, every American gets another $1,200. The 30 million Americans will get an extra $600. That $2-3 trillion, they're basically just printing money, and ultimately it devalues the dollar, doesn't
right.
it, Pablo?
I mean, a lot of people remember the picture of the Weimar Republic where the guy has the wheelbarrow full of money, and instead of taking the money out of the wheelbarrow, they flip the wheelbarrow over and take the wheelbarrow because that's something that had value. And to kind of bring it down to what's happening here in the United States, they're not going so far back to the Weimar Republic in Germany back at the turn of the century. But here in the United States, the day before 9/11, on September 10th, 2001, the gold was at $290 an ounce. Today, it's nearly $2,000 an ounce. So if you extrapolate that, how much your money has devaluated, sure, now we're fighting over $600 every, you know, for everybody, you know, that are unemployed, the 30 million people that are unemployed. We definitely feel for those people. But again, the government's talking about printing another $3 trillion. We already have a $3 trillion deficit this year. And my question to our listeners, how Taryn and Jeff, is how are we going to pay for all this? You know, I've got kids and, you know, I'm hoping for a bright future for them, you know. We live on the greatest country on the planet, and, you know, if our country just feels like they got a printing press and they can just print money, you know, again, recently there was a lady named Judy Shelton. She just was approved by the Senate Banking Committee. She is a true gold bug. She talks about bringing us back to the gold standard. Now, a lot of people may not advocate bringing us back to the gold standard, but there is some honesty there about money. The money has some value, you know, where if you had some type of, you know, basket of goods that were exchangeable for the dollar, or then basically you'd have something that people could see what the value of that money was. We all go to the grocery store and we see prices going up, milk, all our basic necessities, bread, whatever. And I think a lot of this rioting in the streets, Jeffrey, has a lot to do with people going to Target and Walmart and breaking the windows because they're pissed off. They don't know what to be pissed off at Target or Walmart because, you know, the prices are higher, or really what they should be mad at is Washington. They're the ones that are with the printing presses, and it doesn't really matter if it's Democrats or Republicans. They both believe in modern monetary theory, which basically means they want to print money and devaluate the dollar.
Yeah, but getting back to the $600, which, again, I understand that every time government introduces this huge stimulus, whether it's $1 trillion, $2, $3 trillion, it devalues the dollar ultimately. But still, that $600 for the average Albuquerque and New Mexican, they generally, that person uses that money to go spend on, you know, some clothes, some milk, some groceries, a restaurant, even though it's closed takeout. So the other side of that coin is that money does stimulate the economy. In the absence of that extra $600 for 30 million Americans, that's going to have a devastating effect in terms of consumership, right?
Right, but it's like a heroin shot or a methadone shot, you know, to keep the addict going. And basically, I think what people really want is jobs. They don't want a stimulus. I don't think most Americans don't want to sit at home and not work. They want the economy to open up and be able to work. I think business owners want to have their employees come back. They want their customers back into their restaurants, into their businesses. And again, we do have a pandemic. We've all got to be cautious. We all got to wear our seatbelt or our masks or, you know, practice social distancing. But again, we don't want to like destroy our economy and destroy our country because of this pandemic. And we all know that, again, it does affect a lot of people. We have 156,000 deaths here in this country. That's a lot of deaths. But that's less than half of 1% of the United States population. And you're asking the other 99.5% to basically destroy their livelihood. And a lot of other things come up with that. You know, we have child abuse and spousal abuse and a lot of social issues because people are locked down. They can't find a job. They don't have a job, and they're worried about their money.
Despondency, melancholy. You know, we're not geared. We're not wired to not have social connection. We're social creatures. And my next guest, we're going to talk about tribalism, which is a different topic for now. But the question is, should the governor have extended the restrictions another month as she has, which is affecting a lot of industries, but particularly the restaurant industry here in New Mexico?
Right.
And with indoor dining, because remember, Pavlos, a lot of these restaurants are not geared to build a patio, or they're not geared
right
to do takeout.
So, Jeffrey, you and I are not doctors. And so we cannot comment on medical science, but I have a degree in political science. And my take on this is this has nothing to do with medical science. This has to do with political science.
Well, everything is politics. Absolutely. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, absolutely. There's no question in my mind that some folks like Nancy Pelosi wants economic chaos so that Biden gets elected and she retains and continues to aggrandize power.
What did Rahm Emanuel say? Don't let a good crisis go to waste. I guess Pelosi and Schumer and company were listening to that because, you know, the politicians are not going to let this. And right now, you talk about that $600, that basically you have 30 million Americans over a barrel. Do you think Washington likes having their constituents over a barrel? They sure in heck do. And so
ultimately, where do you think that number is going to end up with the compromise? The Republicans are putting forth $200 as of right now. The Democrats want to maintain the six. Let's continue to talk about that on the Gauntlet of Truth. Jeffrey Candelaria, give us a call, 243-3333. All right, we have this board here is like a Christmas tree. We've got Jeff, John, JoJo, and Aaron on the line. So we're going to get to you here. Give me a second here. We're having a few technical difficulties, but we're navigating through that. My guest is Pavlos Panagopoulos. We're talking about the state of the economy, not only nationally, but obviously how it's affected here, the folks here in New Mexico. We talked a little bit about UNM losing at least $2 million games in terms of Lobo football. We've talked a little bit about the restaurant industry. It will continue to not be able to have the capacity for indoor dining at least through September 1st, and that affects thousands of restaurants here in New Mexico, which means it also affects those employees. We're also talking about that $600 supplement, which was part of the CARES Act for 30 million Americans. That $600 supplement per week, by the way, is not available as of right now. Congress is meeting in Washington to try to figure out what kind of a stimulus package we're going to provide thereafter. Give us a call, 243-3333. How's the economy affecting you? Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you're on News Radio, KKOB.
Hey, Jeff.
Great name, Pavlos. Always enjoy listening to your financial advice in the middle of the week.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Hey, so hyperinflation, as Pavlos was talking about, what happened to Germany? Took a wheelbarrow of money to buy a loaf of bread. We cannot continue to print money here. Confidence in the dollar is shrinking. Look what's happening with gold. It's almost at $2,000. Silver, close to $25 an ounce. And the left and the progressives, they hate free enterprise. These restaurants and other businesses cannot sustain, especially restaurants, cannot sustain patio, you know, service. The restaurant, the margin isn't huge anyhow, right?
Definitely. So, I grew up in the restaurant business, and I can tell you that the margins are very small.
Yeah, I worked at a restaurant when I was in college.
We all did that. Yeah,
and saw the numbers. But just think about this. She's not going to open up the restaurants until after the election. And heaven forbid, if Biden gets elected, watch how the closures will change.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's going to change, you know?
This is not about medical science, Jeff. This is about political science.
So it's true, an
Jeff.
Agenda.
Absolutely.
And they're trying to ruin it. And, we're driving around today. And I think about this often. So you got Lowe's, Home Depot, and all those stores that you can go to. I call them state depots, state Lowe's. You know, soon, if they get control, it'll be state burger that you go to, state chicken restaurant that you go to. They will dictate where and when and how we're allowed to go to eat, you know, shop. It really concerns me.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Thank you, Jeff, for that phone call.
Thank you, Jeff. You know, again, there's no question in my mind that, you know, Governor Grisham and folks like that that have power and influence, they care about the health of our state and our population. But at the same time, concomitantly, they're political animals. They have political aims and objectives. It is true.
And aspirations.
It is absolutely in Michelle Grisham's interest if Biden gets elected, because she's that much closer to perhaps Washington with a position as, you know, a cabinet position, for example.
Yes, we remember another famous governor, Richardson. He was kind of in the same boat as Grisham.
All I'm saying is, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, it doesn't matter. If you have power and influence wherever the hell you're at, you're making decisions that are in the best interest of yourself and your constituency, usually second place, a distant second. But to remove politics from these decision-making policies nationally and locally, you're just being ignorant. They are absolutely all political animals, and they do what's in their best interest to self-aggrandize. It's that simple. Let's go to our next caller here. John, you're on News Radio, KKOB.
Hey, John.
Make no misunderstanding about it. Governor Grisham is auditioning for vice president, and she straight out doesn't care about any of us. Her career goals come first, and all of us are paying for it, not just monetarily, but spiritually, physically, emotionally, and she could care less.
You remember we had another governor, Bill Richardson, he was kind of in the same boat.
Well, I don't agree that she doesn't care about our population's health, but I think preponderantly thinking her, when you put it on the scale, it's in her best interest that we do have, let's be honest, if you have economic chaos, folks are going to vote for Biden. She's that much closer to sustaining that much more power. It's not that difficult to surmise the obvious. She's a political animal first. She still cares at the same time, but her interests that weigh a little bit more on the right side of the scale. But to say that she doesn't care, I don't believe that. All right, we've got JoJo on the line, but I'm going to go to Aaron. So Aaron is a person that owns a pretty fabulous French restaurant, and we wanted to talk to him because he's shifted a lot of his resources to sustain viability as a restaurant owner. Aaron, welcome to the Gauntlet of Truth.
Hey, Aaron.
Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, Jeffrey? Thank you again for having me on today.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about your restaurant and how you've had to, you know, shift some of your resources to maintain not only survivability, but I understand you're actually opening up a second restaurant. Talk about that, Aaron.
Yes. So, you know, again, we have very little control over what comes down the pipeline, and our leaders have to do what they feel is best, whether we agree with it or not. My job is to make sure that first and foremost, I honor my faith. Second foremost, I take care of my family. And third, make sure that my clients, my guests, still have a place that they can call home as far as getting good quality food. And it was a struggle. I won't sit here and lie. It was a struggle to figure out how can we sustain. But then I was just reminded, you know, some of the greatest things in history happen when we take our focus off of ourselves, our rights, or whatnot, and then just begin to love on one another. And that's what we did. We looked at our customer base and we said, you know what? They're not dollars. They're our guests. They are literally the life, not only the lifeblood, but people worthy of, you know, being checked in on. And that's a hard shift that we did. And we started calling our customers and not asking for orders, not asking for online business. We shared that we were still open, but the 85% of our conversation was, how are you, Mr. Customer? How are you doing? Has COVID had a negative impact on you? We want you to know that it's definitely affected us, but we're most concerned about how things are going for you. And then just like letting a steak come off the grill, we let it sit for a minute, and we let them talk to us, and a dialogue came. And then that social goodwill was being sowed. And in this dark time of COVID-19, it actually turned into a blessing where people were actually coming out of that negative mindset, and they had a little bit of a positive experience. Has everyone ordered? Absolutely not. But guess what? There's a positive feel when it comes to Petit Louis Bistro, and that we truly honor our guests. They're not dollars. They're our family, and we care about their livelihood, and we care that they're healthy. And if they're not, we wish them well. We will pray with them. We do whatever we can that's appropriate for that customer. And we ask if they want to continue to have that type of conversation. And we respect it if they don't.
Excellent.
Aaron, well done. Life gave you lemons and you made lemonade. So great. Great for you and great for your customers.
Aaron, just a couple of questions. What's the name of your restaurant? What's your location? And how much did indoor dining, at least for those first couple of weeks, affect your revenues?
Name of my restaurant in Nob Hill that's open right now is Petit Louis Bistro, 3218 Silver Avenue in the Nob Hill District. We, honestly, when COVID hit, we had not one customer for 2.5 weeks. Not one. And we had to do a hard shift brand rebranding of having takeout and family. And, again, we're a French restaurant, but honestly, don't laugh, but what kept us open, we shifted our menu and we added pot pies, chicken pot pie and beef pot pie and family style beef bourguignon. And that's what kept us open until people got used to doing takeout orders with us. And we, you know, since have done bistro burgers and opened up more of our regular menu, but that's what got us through the menu change. And then people just responding to the positivity we put out on Facebook, the transparency, and that gave way to us getting ready to open a location in Corrales. It's going to be called C3's Bistro, and if everything goes right, we should be open mid-August to late August this year.
Bravo, Aaron.
Excellent.
Definitely go try it. Definitely recommend everybody, all our listeners, try your product out and give your place a call. Why don't you give us your phone number?
Please call us at 505-314-1110. And you can also dial 575-693-8568 for someone to pick up readily. And again, this is not just a company I own, but Julian Maestas is my co-owner as well. We're partners in this.
Very good, Aaron. Continued success. Great example of someone who was, you know, obviously affected directly by COVID and made some adjustments on the fly and had a positive attitude throughout. And now he's thrived such that he's going to end up opening a second restaurant because he cared about his customers to the extent that he actually called his customer base to ask them how they were doing.
What a great story.
That's a great story. All right, let's go to a next caller here. JoJo, you're on the Gauntlet of Truth, Jeffrey Candelaria.
Hey, JoJo.
Hi. Hi, Jeffrey. Hi, Pablos. So, oh, gosh, and I want to dovetail on what the gentleman just said. But, Jeffrey, first of all, I want to thank you for your show, and this is unsolicited. You are obviously your own thinker, and that is so refreshing. It's so important to hear that. So what I want to do is to hold two thoughts at the same time. And the two thoughts, and Jeffrey, it goes back to your original question about the $600 a week. And also...
So, JoJo, I'm going to keep you on the line because we got to go to break. So will you stay with me for a couple of minutes through these commercial breaks?
Sure.
All right, she's going to stay on the line. Stay there, JoJo. You're listening to Jeffrey Candelaria, Pavlos Panagopoulos on the Gauntlet of Truth, where we think concomitantly. We can hold more than one thought in our minds and our hearts simultaneously.
Multitasking.
All right, New Mexico, thanks again for tuning in. The Jeffrey Candelaria Show called The Gauntlet of Truth with my guest from Cetera, Pavlos Panagopoulos. He's an expert financial planner and understands the economy both nationally, globally, and here, obviously, here in New Mexico. And we've been talking about the effects of the economy, particularly with that $600 supplement to 30 million Americans concluding as of today, and how that's going to affect really consumership over the next month or so if that doesn't continue. But let's go back to our caller, JoJo, who is holding.
Hey, JoJo.
On the air, JoJo.
Hey, hi. Okay. So back to holding the two thoughts at the same simultaneously about the $600 a week and the order of children not going back to school at least until after Labor Day, which I doubt is going to happen after that. Here's the deal. I'm a grandmother. I'm very fortunate. I'm retired, and I've been helping out my daughter and son-in-law since March with my wonderful six-year-old granddaughter so they can work. They are not getting the $600 a week. But what about those two-income parent families where they're going to be forced to be there with their kids at home because of the order? And I understand it, and I do believe that the governor is trying to keep the bigger picture of our health in mind. But somebody's going to have to stay at home. And if that two-income family are working and one of them has to stop, where is that other income going to come from? Because just the basic unemployment income is not going to supplant that loss of income to that family. And in order to keep the economy rolling and the money being spent at the Walmarts and Target, there has to be something coming in. And Pablos and Jeffrey, I love your opinions, but Pablos, I'd like to hear what you have to say about that. And I'll say,
JoJo, let's just talk about kids in general. Most kids will not be affected by COVID. Again, this COVID, it's morphed into different, you know, pandemic, and we could see it affect kids later on.
But the order in the state of New Mexico is that kids will not go back to school until after September, the Labor Day weekend.
But I'm saying that's like hand in glove, having the kids stay home and then forcing the parents to either take unemployment because one of the parents has to stay home to take care of the kids. Now,
that's
JoJo,
right.
You've had kids, and now you have grandkids. I have three children. I can tell you it's not easy staying at home with the kids, no matter how wonderful your six-year-old granddaughter is.
It's my granddaughter.
Right.
She's six.
She's been in first grade. And you also can say, in a lot of ways, from a mental standpoint, it's not healthy for kids to be stuck in a house trying to do education.
As much fun as I am, I am still her grandmother.
Yes, I wish I had a grandmother like you. You probably sound like a lot of fun. But
you understand
what I'm trying to say. We got to separate medical science from political science from economics. This is definitely what you mentioned is an economic question. and there are risks when they open the schools or they have the parents go back. But from a natural standpoint, you can agree that children do not want to be stuck in a dark room with a computer on all day long. And it doesn't matter. I've got young adults now. My kids are 19, 21, and 17. And basically, they don't want to be doing their schoolwork in a dark room, you know, with a computer on.
No, absolutely not. And
everybody learns differently. There's some children that can do okay with a computer, but the majority, it's proven fact and it's documented. And it, even just common sense, it does not work. So again, what I would just say is we got to exercise some common sense. What this is political science. This is about political science.
And that's the thing, right. It's not being balanced.
No.
Most people are either going Republican or Democrat,
right.
But it needs to be balanced.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jojo.
You know, Jojo,
thanks
for reminding us. Stay there, because I have another question for you, Jojo. Thanks for reminding our listeners that school isn't just about, you know, the curriculum, engendering a curious mind, but also there's an economic consequence to those parents, like she's saying. That's an excellent point. And I'd like your thoughts on this, Jojo. You know, school isn't just about engendering a curious mind through curriculum and study, but it's also about, you know, a couple of meals a day, home-related issues. If a kid's being abused or if there's some kind of violence, so a lot of times kids report that to their teachers. Also, the understanding and, you know, the discipline of social interactions. So it's a lot bigger than just the curricula itself, right, Jojo?
Absolutely. And one thing that we're not talking about is the emotional connection for these children. They don't even understand what they're missing.
Yeah.
It's us as adults, as leaders. We're all leaders. We're all leaders in our own world. And it's about paying attention. What are these children missing? Because I will guarantee you, Jeffrey and Pablo, these kids, it's going to show up in a few years from now. It won't show up right away, but it will show up that, bless their hearts, they will be affected by this because we are putting a lot of this on them that they don't even know what it is that they need.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jojo. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, I just think if parents had the opportunity to talk to the governor, I think she'd get an earful. I mean,
I would do it in a heartbeat, and I would keep it passionate but logical.
Thank you, Jojo, and I appreciate your commentary about what I try to do with this show, and that's stay away from binary conversations where everything is absolutely this, absolutely that. Obviously, I'm conservative, I'm a Republican, but hell, I mean, I don't agree with half of what these dumb Republican leaders do all the time because they're political animals too. So I try to, like, when I have a meal, I don't eat every aspect of that steak. I'm not going to eat the bone. I'm not going to eat the fat. I eat what I like. So in other words, you pick and choose a complicated topic like, should kids go back to school? There is no absolute one answer or the other. But overall, you have to make a decision that does take into consideration some strategic risk, meaning I do think kids should be back in school with teachers and, you know, in group settings. Is there some strategic risk there? Yes.
Sure. And the people that are subject to, you know, risk, whether they're health risks or teachers or whatever, I do believe that they could excuse themselves and not have to participate in a school year if their health is at risk and there's situations where parents don't want to send their kids to school. Again, I don't think that the kids have to be forced to go to school, but I think it should be an option.
Yes, there should be an option. I agree. And we haven't even talked about 30% of New Mexico doesn't even have access to broadband. So how are those kids going to access, you know, online curricula? I don't have any idea how that's going to happen. Further, a lot of these school systems in some of the poor areas of New Mexico and all over the country can't afford laptops for every kid, and parents themselves can't afford those laptops. And with these with this $600 kind of little windfall, weekly windfall, if that doesn't happen, there's another example of people not being able to buy, you know, accoutrements for their kids when they go back to school, even if it's
and we'll be talking about this all weekend long, Jeffrey, because they got 30 million people over a barrel.
Yeah.
And it's both Democrats and Republicans. And will they come up with something, Jeff? They will.
Yeah.
They're going to come up with some compromise, just like they did with the CARES Act the last minute, and they'll push this next stimulus, the HEROES Act or the HEAL Act that the Republicans came up with. Again, you know, whether it's $1 trillion or $3 trillion, both parties in Washington believe in printing money and devaluating our wealth or devaluating our currency, and that's just the way it is.
So you're in the portending business, you know, predicting the future, economics. I want you to talk about where you think that $600 is going to end up. $400, $700, $100, nothing, whatever. My guest, Pavlos Panagopoulos, give us a call. We're talking about the state of the economy here in New Mexico and all over the country. Jeffrey Candelaria, 243-3333.
The truth is never convenient. You are now going through the gauntlet of truth with Jeffrey Candelaria on 96.3 News Radio KKOB.
The gauntlet of truth.
With Isn't truth, that the truth?
Jeffrey. Well, you know, the philosopher will say truth is a matter of your interpretation of reality. I'm not convinced there's an absolute truth, period. So we all bring our own interpretations of life to this moment in time. We look at something called a cup on a table, and we will never see the same cup. So let's not get too caught up in this. Being convoluted as to what truth is.
Very, very Aristotelian of you.
Well, you're a Greek, so I thought I was.
We're talking about Spaniards next, I hear.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
absolutely.
The next empire after the Greeks.
Highly excited to talk about the European Hispanic contribution to not only North America, but to South America as well, with my next guest, Thomas Chavez. However, let's stay in the moment. Mr. Pavlos Panagopoulos, a renowned financial planner and really a person that understands economics both globally, nationally, and we're obviously talking about New Mexico and how it's affected here. And if you have some thoughts on how the economy has affected you during COVID, the governor will continue her restrictions. That's going to particularly affect the restaurant industry with not having indoor dining. And I do want to remind our listeners that even those restaurants that have the capacity for patio space, they've got to pay additional monies for tents and some of the accoutrements to provide that little space as well. And those restaurants are not going to recover the revenues that represent indoor dining, right?
Right, because the margins are so tight in a restaurant, you know, I mean, and, you know, we're not even having soccer here. I know I keep bringing that up, but for those soccer fans out there, we got a lot of United fans out there, it's terrible that we can't have our own team play in our state. Now, granted, the stadium's got to be empty, but they're playing soccer in Spain. And, you know, even in Spain where they had the pandemic was one of the worst for that of all countries. Them in Italy, they're starting to play soccer again, and so is Germany.
Yeah.
And, again, I do think people need some outlet, you know, watching professional sports, whether it's football, baseball, what have you. And, you know, I think that we can accommodate that, you know, with some caution and some systems put in place. But, you know, just to outlaw, carte blanche just doesn't make sense.
And I want to remind our listeners, and I'd like you to call in, 243-3333. New Mexico is only one of three states that circumscribes or prohibits indoor dining.
And the only state in the world that has no soccer.
Your fascination with soccer is interesting.
But it's a worldwide phenomenon. You know, soccer is a worldwide sport. And, you know, every country now is playing soccer. Today, the FA Cup took place in London. So, you know, when our politicians talk about here's how the rest of the world's doing, or China is doing better than us, or, you know, Spain is doing better than us, or Europe is doing better than us, they're opening their schools. They're playing soccer. And, again, I think that we need to use common sense when we put these restrictions in place.
Soccer is a worldwide sport for a lot of reasons. But, number one, you don't need a lot of ancillary equipment to play. I went to Acapulco 7 years ago, and by the resort area. By the way, the resort areas are always obviously by the beach, the Pacific. But if you run, because I'm a runner, some 4 to 5 what are called American blocks into the city, you see the antithesis of utter wealth and the underbelly of dire, squalid, I hate to say it, but filth and poverty. Guess what those kids were doing with their smelly bodies and all? No offense to those kids. Guess what they were doing?
Playing soccer.
Correct. Because anybody can kick a ball.
That's it.
And you don't have to be a big guy to play football, or you have to be a big guy to play. So that's, I think,
part of it. And soccer is a great sport because it levels the playing field. Yep. Doesn't matter if you're big or small, or, you know, look at Messi, one of the best players in the world, and he's probably, you know, little guy like you and I, Jeff, you know, he's probably 5'7", you know, and he's one of the, he is the best player in the world. Yep. And so, again, soccer levels the playing field, and, you know, I think that, you know, we need to look at.
Jesus was only 5'5", and he changed the world. Different topic.
There you go. All right. Walked on water.
I want to talk about what's up with this reduction of supply of silver and coins all over. Where did that come from?
So we see now silver rising in value. When gold was at 1,950 when it hit its peak back in 2011, silver was at $50 an ounce. So silver has a way of more to catch up because it's around $27 an ounce. And the demand, once the metal prices go up, the demand goes up because there's a lot of paper money out there, and there's not a lot of coinage, because even in the Constitution, Jeffrey, Article 8 and Article 9, it talks about the government has a right of basically controlling the money, and that the states can control coinage, whether gold or silver. And so, you know, again, with all this money printing going on, there are individuals that are saying, I want something real, something physical that I can hold, and they're hoarding coins. And that should be like a wake-up call to our politicians that the integrity of our money is getting, like, really.
So John Q.
Uncertain.
Public is hoarding coins.
Sure. Okay. The law of supply and demand. And they're hoarding silver, physical silver and physical gold.
Okay.
And that should be a wake-up call because, you know, Jeffrey, a lot of our clients, you know, I sit here, they have gold in their portfolios. And again, it's happy, happy, sad, sad. Happy, happy, our gold has gone up in value for our clients, but sad, sad, what's happening to this country. And why gold goes up, it's one of those canaries in the coal mine that says, you know, hey, things aren't going right. As a matter of fact, you even talk about the Spaniards. They went and they scurried the world for gold. They came to New Mexico looking for gold, Coronado and company. And, you know, the failure of the Roman Empire, they started putting tin into their gold, right? So they lost the integrity of their money. So once a society loses their integrity of their money, so too goes a society. And we need to wake up. And like I said, recently there was a appointment of a new Fed chairman. She's going to be going into the Federal Reserve. She's a gold bug. And I think there needs to be another person there that talks about integrity of money at the Federal Reserve.
Pavlos Panagopoulos. He's the only guy that
Judy
could talk,
Shelton.
He's the only guy that could talk more than I do. Coronado was here 1540, by the way. 1540. Can you imagine that? Yep.
Looking for gold.
Pilgrims weren't even born yet. Gauntlet of Truth, Jeffrey Candelaria. Give us a call, 243-3333. All right, one more segment with my associate and friend, Pavlos Panagopoulos, the only guy that talks more than I do, with Sotero. And I mean that, you know, with all...
In a loving way, right? Yeah. Romance.
Not sure if I put the word love into that topic, but affection, for sure.
Hey.
Pavlos Panagopoulos, a couple of more minutes. We got about 10 minutes. But the restaurant industry, when it's resurrected all over the country, obviously you're dealing with food. It's usually enclosed in an indoor situation, multiples of people. There's a policy nationally to protect restaurants from being liable if folks get COVID, right? You want
right.
to talk about that?
And that's where the linchpin on the $600 is. The Democrats do not want to give immunity to restaurants. I mean, boy, you just want to, like, really kill the restaurants, you know, close them down, but then have somebody, you know, go and sue because they felt like they got COVID at that restaurant. Now, granted, I was in the restaurant business, and Department of Health has a lot of rules, and the restaurants are complying with the rules. Again, not every restaurant is perfect, but I think in their hearts, most restaurant owners do not want to hurt their patrons, and they want to do a good job, and giving them some type of immunity from liability. Because, again, we live in a very litigious society, And so I think that that will be the linchpin on this $600 a month. So you start listening to what's happening on the talk shows tomorrow and the next day, and I think that's where we're headed.
So consumer spending was up 5.6% in the United States in June, right?
Right.
But again, to give some other frame of reference around the economy here nationally, air travel since March was down almost 75%, correct?
Correct.
To this point?
Yes.
But ultimately, in the area of the automobile, gas consumption's actually gone up 32%.
Right.
And if you guys, all over the board, I guess, is what
yes,
I'm saying.
Yes, but if you look at the gas prices, you see them starting to inch up. And again, gasoline consumption, I mean, you know, again, common sense, look around. People are driving their cars. And I know that a lot of people feel like there's going to be electric cars all over the place, but that's still a long ways away. They are talking about doing a battery that lasts for 9 hours. That will also affect, you know, prices of oil going down. But again, you know, we have talk of the squad talking about the Green New Deal. You know, obviously it's good to be renewable energy and to have those kinds of renewable energy that doesn't damage the environment. But right now, the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow, and we have to have gasoline to keep our economy going. And here in New Mexico, we're talking about eliminating fracking, and they're talking about eliminating fracking all over the United States. Well, that would devastate our economy. We rely 32% of our budget here in New Mexico.
Remind people what fracking is, because we tend to use these words all the
right.
time, and not everybody knows
right.
what that means.
And people also don't realize, too, that fracking brings a lot of oil up, and it's
what
kind of a pop. But what they do is they use water pressure, and they basically, it's like a sponge. They squeeze the gas, the oil out of the sponge. These rocks are very porous, whether it's in New Mexico in the Permian Basin or the Bakken in North and South Dakota, or in the Marcellus Shale in Pennsylvania. They use this porous rock, and they shoot water in there, and they also do horizontal drilling.
Why are the tree huggers against it? What are the implications for fracking? Does it
because sometimes it causes sinkholes and injecting the water into the wells. They may feel like there might be some environmental issues because they're bringing oil up, and then the oil's on the ground, and there may be some spillage of oil. So there's some, obviously, concerns. But again, the oil industry probably does try to protect, you know, protect what's happening in the environment, because, again, they're subject to litigation. We are, again, a litigious society, and there is, you know, some, obviously, litigation out there against oil companies for doing fracking.
Again, we live in New Mexico, and the economy is oil and gas is, what, 30% of the economy?
Right, 32% of our economy is oil and gas revenues.
32% of the economy, and you've got Biden, who will be manipulated as president when he wins, unfortunately, because I think that will happen. He will eliminate fracking because of all the influence behind him, which will devastate about 25% of our economy, would you say?
Right now, the United States is the number one oil producer in the world.
What about New Mexico?
But New Mexico, we're in the top five oil producers of all states.
Yeah.
And the Permian Basin and the Delaware Basin are huge oil producers. And again, look around. We are all driving cars, and when you're out on the street, you see a lot of cars. And again, we all would like green energy, but there's going to be a timeline before we get there, before we get to a place where we're not going to be using fossil fuels. And eventually fossil fuels do dry up, because with this fracking, Jeffrey, it brings a lot of oil up to the ground quickly, but then those wells go dry. So we eventually will have to find some alternatives to fossil fuels.
Yeah, I'm just looking for an incremental transition to green energy, green resources, and we concomitantly bring economics into that equation, as opposed to just eliminate it, done, as opposed to, well, let's look at eliminating fracking over the next 10 years, something like that, which makes some economic sense. That's all I'm
right. You have these people that live in ivory towers, Jeffrey, pie in the sky, you know, let's close the schools, but they're not parents. And they're not going to have to deal with the kids.
Of course.
Or let's do green energy, but they don't have to put gas in their gas tank. They don't have to drive to work. And so, yes, there's a lot of things that we wish would happen, but there's also reality. And I think listeners need to, you know. Take a step back and think about reality.
He lives in a mansion worth $18 billion with a wall and people protecting her mansion with guns, but she tells us that we shouldn't have access to those kinds of.
There's a lot of hypocrisy in Washington. We all know
all over the place, right. All over the place. So let's begin to conclude with the question, and that is the stock market. It's at an all-time high, curiously, at this particular time when we have this worldwide pandemic, and the average American is wondering where they're going to pay their next, you know, how the next mortgage is going to be paid. What's that all about?
Well, Jeff, as I say, the stock market can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent. And that's what people are thinking right now with having to get the $600 a week payment may go away. And you see the stock market rising on that. Now, a lot of listeners out there would say, well, it's all Wall Street and they're greed. But what it is all this money printing has to go somewhere, all this liquidity, and it's going into the stock market. And that's where these trillions of dollars that the Federal Reserve is printing is going. And people are buying stocks. Banks are buying stocks. Hedge funds are buying stocks. And, you know, we now will have some companies that were one time $1 trillion in market capitalization. Some of the FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google. Jeffrey, would you believe this year they may reach $2 trillion in net worth? And that, like I said, it just was recently that they became just $1 trillion. So all those trillions of dollars are having to find someplace. And money never sleeps, Jeff. You're in the banking business, right? It's going to find a place, and it's finding its place in the stock market. And what I tell my listeners is, again, happy, happy, sad, sad. Happy, happy, we're invested. Happy, happy, our money's in the market. We're in emerging markets. We're diversified. We have gold. We have oil. But sad, sad, what's happening to our wealth? What's happening to our dollar and how our dollar is being devalued? And if the people don't wake up and think about what we need to do to build the integrity of our money back, we're going to have a lot of problems. And I do believe, you know, a lot of these people talk about, you know, systemic racism, but nobody talks about money, because money was what makes this world go around. And if you look a little deeper about what's going on with these riots in Portland and different places, it has a lot, in Chicago, has a lot more to do with money than it does about systemic racism.
Yeah, like those nihilists, iconoclasts that built CHOP or whatever that was in Seattle. I kept asking my wife and anyone that would listen, you got like 300 of those nihilists there, right, sitting there watching porn on their smartphones and campfires in the middle of a cement street or whatever. And my question to her was, how are they going to sustain their little economy there?
They even built a wall. You knew that, right? They have a wall, right? And they have
they did the very things they told us not to do. They built a wall. They protected it with guns. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how did they think they were going to sustain an economy inside that little world?
Pie in the sky, you know. They didn't.
That's the point.
They didn't.
So even the damn socialists that want to build a socialistic construct, even in that construct, people still have to produce something.
Right.
But these nihilists protesting all over the place with their little degrees in gender diversity, they don't want to work because work is hard. And no thoughts on that, I guess.
The discussion about the $600 a month that a week that they're getting, Jeff, 75% of the individuals make more money getting that $600 every week. So if that goes away.
And our deficit stands at what right now?
We're now at $3 trillion, and we are headed to $30 trillion in debt that we have. And that does not include entitlement.
$30 trillion.
That does not include.
To remind our listeners, the obvious, a trillion is $1,000 billion.
It's, like I said, it's unfathomable, right?
$1,000 billion.
And we're talking about $600, okay, Jeff? You know? So, and remember what did Marie Antoinette say?
Let them eat cake, but she ultimately got beheaded. So did Robert, though. Your caveat, your little...
Okay, last, I want to mention, first of all, anybody would like to listen to us, we are on KKOB Radio with Bob Clark every Tuesday at 7:43. So stay tuned to our Cetera Financial Report. Also, you can go to our website, myfinancialsense.com, or just call us, 828-4068. And lastly, I want to mention, securities and investment advisory services are offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, and Cetera Advisor Networks is a member of the Securities Investors Protection Corporation. Jeffrey, thank you for letting me be on the Gauntlet of Truth, and we always have a lively discussion, so I'm looking forward to our next time together.
Absolutely. always good to have you. Pavlos Panagopoulos. My next guest, historian Tom Chavis, on the Gauntlet of Truth.